is Legal Radio. I'm your host, Sierra Larson. My co-host, John Schlier, is on his way. This week, we are going to be giving out a freshly made jar of farmed strawberries picked yesterday, made into strawberry jam within 6 hours of being picked. So if you're listening online, make sure you call in so you have a chance to win. The call-in number is 347-324-3704. So make sure you are calling in this week, not just listening online. We'll only get your entry if you call in. Again, that number, 347-324-3704. So be sure you are calling in if you want a chance to win that jam. It is so delicious. If you don't win, you can still get your hands on a jar. There is limited supply, but you can get your hands on a jar by going to SierraTheBarefootGirl.com. Click the link at the top that says store, and you can go in there to get one of those jars of jam that we're giving away today. Oh, here's John.
Hello, hello.
How are Hi, John. How are you doing? Good.
That's good, Sierra.
Super good.
Good, good, good.
Okay.
So what are you giving away?
We're giving away a jar of jam, freshly made yesterday, picked yesterday.
Woo-hoo.
If you don't win, though, you can go on my web store, SierraTheBarefootGirl.com, click the link to the store at the top, and the jam's there in the new section, or you can click on the Barefoot Farm section to see all of the options for the farm fresh canned goods.
Cool.
Yay.
That sounds fun.
The listeners that are listening online, call in if you want to win. We'll start off this week with our Twitter stuff, tweets from the Barefoot community. We've got one from Doll Austin saying, "I've been doing it right all along. Hooray for bare feet. It's good for me." And has a link to elephantjournal.com, the benefits of going barefoot. David Gelfand. Says, "Before high heels, televisions, vacuums, and toothpaste were invented, people lived with the earth. Each aspect of life back then was in some way connected to the earth and its nurturing power. Fast forward to today, and we find ourselves as removed and disconnected from the greatest source of healing as can be. Nearly every part of our existence today is insulated, synthetic, and removed, removed from the earth's touch. Only in recent years have the medical community and laymen alike recognized the detrimental impact this disconnect has. As a result, an effort has been placed to reestablish this sort of barefoot lifestyle as organically as possible. Although our efforts may be delayed, many cultures and societies have held the barefoot lifestyle to a high regard through it all. They appreciated and interacted with the earth, recognizing its necessary presence in our lives. Earth chi are those patterns of energy and earth magnetic fields, i.e. all humans, plants, and animals have their own field of chi. When humans or any other living animal is barefoot, it is capable of absorbing earth chi. It's not surprising that most mind and body exercises, like yoga and tai chi, are done barefoot to establish this sort of connection. For Chinese practice, the central focus is growing a root. Doing so allows for the opening of a pathway between the earth and the body and feet. This is often done through Yang Quan Point, also known as the Kidney One Point. Greek mythology tells of how Antaeus was defeated by Hercules. Antaeus was a Libyan giant who, compared to all those, appeared to be truly invincible. Antaeus was victorious in every wrestling match he competed in until he faced Hercules. Amidst their match, Hercules noticed that Antaeus would bounce back every time he was thrown. Hercules realized that Antaeus was gaining all of this strength from his mother, Gaia, the Earth. Hercules decided to suspend Antaeus from the ground until all power and strength was drained of him, which allowed Hercules to end up victorious. Fast forward 200 years to today, and we find ourselves reminiscing on the simpler times. We found ourselves seeking to regain that connection to the Earth's surface. Far too often, our only memories of going barefoot and being in a healthy, direct connection with the Earth is during our years of childhood. When barefoot and spending time in contact with the Earth's surface, we tend to feel better in mind, body, and spirit. But why is that? Our connection to the earth need to be a distant thought from childhood or isolated incidents on the beach. While shoes have offered a convenience to our everyday lives, they've limited us much more severely with respect to our connections. The Earth's surface is like a natural power source, keeping us nurtured and thriving. Recent studies suggest that maintaining a direct connection between your feet and the Earth's surface may be beneficial to your health. When you're barefoot, your body is able to absorb the Earth's limitless supply of free electrons. These electrons serve the function of antioxidants by stabilizing rampant, unhealthy free radicals in your body. As a result, you help decrease your body's chances of growing inflammation, degenerative diseases, and other health ailments. Moreover, you feel good. In the science community, this age-old concept is being called earthing and has found its way into our nation's spas, resorts, and doctor's offices. So that's, again, that's from Twitter from Doll Austin. He says, I've been right all along. Hooray for bare feet. Good for me. So glad that getting more scientific attention, more studies into it. Really, it's so beneficial, and it's something that needs more attention. It's free. You just step outside, go barefoot. Got a few more.
I mean, what could be better?
Oh, exactly. If you can improve your health for free, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I think that's why people are skeptical of it, actually. They just can't believe that you could do something for free these days, I guess. That would be good for you.
Exactly. We've got a tweet from Jordan at Jay Schneed. Says, when the Honey Boo Boo crew is in Panama at the same time as you, hashtag barefoot, hashtag Walmart. And there's a picture of Mama June, Pumpkin, and Honey Boo Boo. Pumpkin and Honey Boo Boo are both barefoot in Walmart. Mama June has shoes on, though. But good for them for going barefoot. This isn't the first time that they've been seen barefoot in stores in public. And I think it's awesome that someone so high profile, albeit somewhat controversial, as Honey Boo Boo, does go barefoot. It's good that people see that. I mean, it's unfortunate that she's associated with poverty and, but it's a high profile person barefoot, and kudos to her for that. On from at Jesus, hashtag barefoot. This right here is the only heaven I believe in. If there's another one, then go, but leave me here. That's a quote from Alice Walker. But the fact that that's associated with going barefoot, I love, because it feels so much better than wearing shoes. And if someone told me wearing shoes was heaven, I would tell them, no, I'm in heaven right here.
Exactly.
Lorraine Copeland says, I love being barefoot. It's great. And what a bonus that it's really good for you. And she's got a link to another article about the new studies done in earthing. This article was published July 1st, 2015. It's a brand new article. It's consciouslifenews.com. This was written by Dr. Josh Axe, and you can visit him on Dr. Axe, draxe.com. So Dr. Josh Axe says, when was the last time you walked barefoot in the sand, grass, or in a forest? For most people, this doesn't happen very often. But now we're learning that there might be more of a reason for you to start making these types of activities a priority. A movement known as grounding or earthing is sweeping the holistic health scene. Walking barefoot outside with the soles of your free feet directly connected to the surface of the earth is the main activity that's a part of the earthing or grounding practice. While it might sound strange at first, ditching your shoes and digging your toes into the dirt or sand, or strolling across some pesticide-free grass, there's evidence that this can be greatly beneficial for health by lowering free radical damage, also called oxidative stress, can also reduce your stress, inflammation, and pain. Regularly connecting to the Earth's natural, powerful energy is now known to be healing and vital for all people. This is why reconnection with both the Earth itself and our body's own innate healing abilities is the focus of earthing. The best part about earthing or grounding is that it's super simple, completely free, and can be done anywhere at any time. It requires nothing but your bare body and willingness to try something that might seem a little bit out there. You might be skeptical about this phenomenon, so let me explain more about the basics of how earthing works. Your body runs through a type of electrical current. As the Journal of Environmental and Public Health states, it is an established, though not widely appreciated, fact that the Earth's surface possesses a limitless and continuously renewed supply of free or mobile electrons. The Earth's negative charges can create a stable internal bioelectrical environment for the normal functioning of all body systems, which may be important for setting the biological clock regulating circadian rhythms and balancing cortisol levels. So there you have it from the Journal of Environmental and Public Health, which is a scientific journal. So these aren't just fringe bloggers that are out there talking about this anymore. These are major medical and scientific research that's happening, proving that going barefoot improves your health. And if that's not a reason to do it, I don't know what would be.
And that's the amazing part to me. You know, there's so many doctors and scientific studies like this. You find more and more, and they seem to be in agreement. That's, you know, a lot of times when there's studies, there's a lot of controversy with them, but it's really hard to find anyone that disagrees, that's done any research on it.
Exactly. And the more research that's done, the more it's backing up the anecdotal evidence. For me, I have fibromyalgia, and it gets bad at times. And I mean, going barefoot doesn't take it away completely, but there are times when I have to have shoes on and the pain comes back almost instantly. And I'm not saying that going barefoot has cured my fibromyalgia. That's not the case at all. It's still crippling at times, but it's definitely reduced the incidence of flare-ups, which all the more reason for me to keep shoes off. Coming up on my 5-year anniversary of being a barefooter this month. And so excited about
Congratulations.
We do have some more tweets. This one's from Nikolai Rahu. Barefoot running, entirely new experience. My gait is shorter, torso more upright, hip forward. And he's training for an Ironman, which is a swimming, biking, and running contest, which is really intense. He's got a picture of himself running with shoes on versus running barefoot, same location. And it looks so different. It's unbelievable. You got to check this out. It's on his Twitter, at Nikolai Rahe, NikolaiRauhe. He posted it on July 2nd. So go take a look at that. It's quite the difference.
And you mentioned upright. You know, I've seen so many articles that talk about how much your posture improves as well. And that's something I've seen as well.
Yeah, in the picture of him running with shoes on, it looks like he's leaning forward almost, and his butt's kind of sticking out backwards. So he's got more of an S curve in his spine. Arms are like chicken winging for balance almost.
Yeah, that's something else. And again, I've seen so many different articles talk about the exact same thing, you know, and how much better it is. Of course, you know, a good posture is good for your health as well, and very few people have that. And that's all it really takes.
Absolutely. We've got another tweet here from this little piggy at Little Pig Reflect. Heading to the beach this summer? Barefoot on the sand or pebbles for some natural reflexology. And that, again, goes with the earthing. But also, if you're walking on pebbles, it's pushing on all those pressure points. Like you see those charts for reflexology massage, and it's like your pinky toes attached to your kidney or whatever. I'm not looking at one right now. I don't have it memorized, so I don't know. Your ankles like attached to your uterus or something. I don't know. But it's like depending on where you're massaging, it can help with stress and tension in those areas. And by walking barefoot on pebbles, there you go, some natural reflexology. So yet another benefit. Have another tweet here from Aintree Hospital. Top surgeons go barefoot to support fundraising for Nepal. They've got a link here to an article about it on their website, aintreehospital.nhs.uk. This is a hospital in the United Kingdom. So their article says, top surgeons from ear, nose, and throat team at Aintree University Hospital in Liverpool went barefoot to support a national social media fundraising campaign to help survivors of the Nepal earthquakes. The ENT team at the hospital are best known for their work as the regional center of excellence and leading national research programs. The team are part of the largest head and neck unit in country, but they swapped their skills in the theater to go barefoot for the hashtag No Socks Rocks charity fundraising initiative led by their colleague, consultant anesthesiist, Dr. Shambhu Achara. I'm sorry for butchering your name, doctor. Campaign on social media aims to raise funds for UK Charity Health Exchange Nepal. They have already sent a 21 strong team of volunteer doctors from Britain to help survivors of the two earthquakes which struck Nepal in April and May, causing thousands of casualties. Dr. Acharya said, "It's great to get the support of my colleagues for such a worthwhile cause. We're well on the way towards our 100,000-pound target, and every time someone takes a photo and makes a small donation, then we move that much closer. Every penny donated makes a difference to lives of people in Nepal who survived the earthquakes, but who now have significant medical needs. To help raise awareness of the earthquake appeal and to reach their fundraising target of 100,000 pounds, the charity is inviting supporters to share photos of themselves without socks at work or taking part of their favorite activities using the hashtag NoSocksRocks to then challenge their friends." These guys went a step above that and went totally barefoot. Professor Satyan Rajbhandari, General Secretary of this charity, said, "People have been very generous across the country, and that support has enabled us to get doctors to the areas most in need in the immediate aftermath of the disaster. The terrible injuries many survivors have will require long-term support. Our next challenge is to offer rehabilitation treatment to people in Nepal so that we can give them the best quality of life." Jeremy Ward, chairman of the charity, added, "We hope that lots of people will support the No Socks Rocks campaign and donate to the appeal, because every penny makes a difference. Using hashtag No Socks Rocks will ensure that we are continuing to make people aware of how much help is still needed for those in Nepal." So that's a pretty cool charity thing going on there. I mean, I usually don't like people going barefoot for charity because I feel it's kind of gimmicky. But this is a cause I can get behind to raise awareness that people in Nepal that were affected by the earthquake still need medical help. And
right.
There's not a barefooter out there that can't.
As well.
We don't wear socks anyway, so maybe we should tweet a picture.
That's an easy one to get behind. No, but I agree, though. There's a lot of them I agree are gimmicky as well, or they treat the going barefoot part as kind of a penance, you know, something that someone has to endure, and that always blows me away. It is funny, recently, and I'm trying to find the charity, which one it is, but there's a girl that's been going barefoot, and she's about at the end of her period, and she makes a comment that she'll most likely continue to go barefoot. It's a video that's out there. I'll have to find that again.
I think I have that article here. There was a tweet on July 3rd that she has completed her charity walk. That was in Europe, right? That she was walking across Europe?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, so her name's Tina. This is the tweet from Barefoot Earth Day. They said, "Barefoot Tina completes barefoot charity walk across Europe." And they've got a link to the article on eveningtelegraph.co.uk. It says, "A young woman from Dundee put her heart and soul into a bizarre charity fundraiser, which saw her go on a tour of Europe in her bare feet. Tina Reuter began her 50-day shoeless challenge last month, taking to the streets of Dundee without any footwear and painting the faces and names of sponsors onto her feet to raise funds for the Kenyan Orphan Project. She aimed to raise £1,000 for the charity, which works to eradicate poverty in Africa. The 22-year-old community learning and development student's journey took her all the way to France and Germany before she reached her fundraising goal. No such visit would be complete without selfies in front of the Eiffel Tower and Disneyland." And they've got a picture of her. She's sitting barefoot in front of the Eiffel Tower. It's kind of cute. Tina said, "I feel great. I'm very proud of myself because when I got to Germany, I didn't have regular internet, and it was hard to keep people posted about my progress and for them to donate online. Everything just fell into place, and I ended up getting so much support from people who had watched my videos on YouTube or seen my updates on Facebook. There were people in Germany who had heard of me only because someone they knew had told them about what I was doing. That was pretty cool. I'm actually 90 pounds over my target now, which is absolutely amazing. The challenge did have a lot of pressure that came with it. I had to keep everyone updated and asking for donations. I'm shocked and surprised at just how supportive people were." And she's got a picture. She wasn't a barefooter before this, so she didn't have any transition period. But she's got a picture. She ended up like bruising or burning the bottom of her feet, which sucks.
Yeah, and in some of the early ones, I watched some of that, and in some of the early ones, yes, it was kind of torture for her since she was not used to it. But it was funny, as she got to some of the later videos, she was encouraging people. Like, she went on a camping trip, and then she encouraged people to do that barefoot. And then, again, she was, near the end of it, she was encouraging people to go barefoot, which to me was quite amazing, because at the beginning, it was the total opposite.
Yeah, at the beginning, it was kind of the gimmicky, oh, look at me, I'm doing something so horrible, give me money for these poor kids in Africa, which you see so much of. I mean, you see people who do all sorts of gimmicky things. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't happen or that they're bad people, but it's just not something that I personally support. Like the ALS water bucket challenge or ice bucket or whatever it was, where you dump a bucket of ice water on your head to encourage people to donate $100 to. Yeah, I didn't. That seemed gimmicky to me. I don't like stuff like that.
But you should be so used to the cold, it probably wouldn't even faze you.
Well, we were doing it in the middle of a drought.
That's too funny.
Well, and it was summer too, so it was last summer, I think it was. So what's so hard about dumping a bucket of water on your head in summer? People do that anyway.
Exactly. But it is so, funny. Yeah. I've seen quite a few times, this is just another reminder to me, of near the end, there's usually a comment or two that they make about that they will probably continue to go barefoot or at least somewhat. And she definitely made that comment near the end. That she would continue to go barefoot in public. So I thought that was kind of amazing too. It's kind of like people finally get their eyes opened by having the experience.
Yeah. Well, it's better for you. And I mean, it might start as gimmicky. I mean, I didn't exactly get into barefooting in the health benefit seeking way. I was inadvertently, kind of a funny story, young and naive, approached by someone who wanted me to blog on his website. Turned out I was actually being a model for his foot fetish porn site. That's how I got into barefooting. But, I mean, it doesn't matter how you get into it. It's that you stay because it's so much better for you than wearing shoes.
Yes, here I had to do everything I could to keep from making a parody joke with the jam earlier when you mentioned that. So I stayed away from that.
It's not toe jam, guys.
But no, for all the different things that the fetish people are into, that's probably somewhere we have no idea.
I'm sure it's. Yeah, we do have some more tweets. There, people have been crazy active on Twitter this week. Alex Ramsey at Barefoot Alex, one of my good friends, he says 5 mile barefoot run in the books. Alex just finished a run across the U.S. to raise money for something. I don't know what exactly he was doing, but he just finished his. But he actually is a barefooter full time, so it wasn't gimmicky to me. He was just running across America. He just happened to also be barefoot. He did wear zero shoes from across like Arizona and New Mexico because it was summer and blisteringly hot and no bueno to the feet. We've got some more tweets. One from Physio Coastal. Finished my first half marathon in 13 years today at GCAM 15. Running barefoot, the Gold Coast, great place to run. And there's a picture of him crossing the finish line. Emily Reese says, just broke 1,000 running miles for 2015, 99.2% of which were barefoot. So that means she ran 992 miles barefoot. That's awesome. Bare-bottom shoes, another good friend of mine, Sue Kenny. She says, everyone can benefit from barefooting. Hashtag barefoot shoes, hashtag barefoot. She's got a link to her Facebook. One of her friends, Emily Spleekel, who's also been on the show, put a picture. Barefoot training isn't just for runners. There are substantial benefits in coordinating, conditioning, and training barefoot for every athlete. So that's an awesome reminder of the benefits of being barefoot. Roger Sampson says, mowing the lawn barefoot on a cold day is so refreshing and the happiness that nature intended. Barefoot, hashtag let's go barefoot. And we've got one more from WKYC Channel 3 News. Man runs barefoot across country to raise money for injured veterans. This article is about Jake Brown. He also has been on the show. We had him on when he first started out his run in March. He's passing through Missouri now. He started in California, and he's running to New York. He's in Missouri now. But he's a full-time barefooter as well. You can check him out on... He has a Facebook. Barefoot Jake Brown is his page that you can check out his progress on. You can also visit his website, theunrun.com. But here's the article, WKYC.com. It says, anyway, you look at them, Jake Brown's feet are wicked tough. Shoeless since departing Huntington Beach, California in early March, Brown has run eastward across mountains, through deserts, on sandy trails, and along concrete interstates. Against the relentless pounding, sometimes 40 miles a day or more, the soles of his feet have become thick, hardened calluses. They've deflected broken glass and sharp stones and turned deep brown from constant exposure to the sun. On Tuesday, we caught up with Brown, 27, in Carthage on his way to Springfield Wednesday, where he is more than halfway through his Bare Soul project, running barefoot from California to New York to raise money for the Semper Fi Fund to help injured veterans. He hopes to establish the first record for a barefoot run across the country and maybe change some people's thinking along the way. So he's going to be the first one to have run completely across the country, totally barefoot, without putting shoes on once. Wow. There aren't any records established right now, but when he completes this, I said if at first, he will. I'm quite confident that he will. He'll set the only known time. And so he'll be able to be in the record books for this. He's run 3,000 miles so far. He hopes to reach Manhattan sometime in early September. And then he'll rest a week, and then he's going to run a 100-mile ultramarathon in Cortland, New York. Barefoot, of course.
That's amazing.
He's quite inspirational. He's also a friend of mine. We make lots of friends in the barefoot community. When you do things like this. But yeah, so those are our barefoot tweets. Quite a lot of them this week. So we do need to take an ad break now. When we come back, we've got more exciting articles for you. We'll start with the pros and cons of barefoot running when we come back, since we've been talking so much about all these people that are running barefoot and walking barefoot for their causes, be they gimmicky or not. So we've got an article from netivist.org about barefoot running when we come back. So stay tuned.
Are you confused about what to do to get started on your path to preparedness? My book, Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook, is the number one all-time best-selling book ever on helping people become prepared or getting better prepared. Get a copy of my book. You can get it through Freedomizer Radio by going to makingthebestofbasics.com. Pick out what you'd like to buy. There are a number of alternatives. All Freedomizer Radio listeners can get it for one-half price, special offer. When you're ready to check out, go down to the discount code, type in PRESENT. Because it's a present I'm making to you, and it'll automatically discount the price by 50%. Such a deal. And you can learn more by listening to Dr. Prepper CPR, Critical Preparedness Radio talk show at Freedomizer Radio.
Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, Trey drops the verse. I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up.
Box it up, yeah.
I like the way you grow with so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it.
No diggity.
No doubt.
We've
got squash and peas. Pollinator pack for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze. Yes, please. Yes, please. Hey, now that plant looks good.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden. PeacefulBelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
My name is Sean Carone, and I would like to invite you, the spirit of the resistance, to join me on my weekly radio show, Awakening Liberty, right here on Freedomizer Radio. Awakening Liberty is a hard-hitting program that focuses on truth and restoring liberty by enlightening the people of this great land. It's about waking others up to the tyranny that this world faces by the New World Order, the ruling class elite, the central banks, and the Luciferian agenda. It's about depopulation, chemtrails, and geoengineering. It's about GMO foods, corporatism, fascism, vaccines, and medical industry fraud. It's about martial law, false flag terrorism, and the outright enslavement of humanity. This show is about you, your thoughts, your opinion, and your voice, your resistance. It's about what we can do when we share in our common humanity and exercise our God-given rights to be what humanity was meant to be, free and independent. Together we will take on the tough issues. We will cut through the lies, deception, and manipulation of the mainstream media and seek the truth, no matter how hard it is to find. We will prevail. You want rants? I'll give you rants. You want guests? I'll get guests. Join me weekly for Awakening Liberty, freeing one manipulated mind at a time, every Saturday at 6 p.m. Please join me, please support the show, and I look forward to talking to you.
Welcome back to Barefoot is Legal Radio. I'm your host, Sierra Larson, joined by my co-host, John Schlier. Just a reminder, we're giving away a jar of freshly made strawberry jam to caller number 9. We haven't had any callers yet, so you still have a chance to win it. The call in number 347-324-3704. And a little bit about that jam, the strawberries, there's 3 different varieties of strawberries in there, all picked yesterday, canned yesterday. By the time you get it, the strawberries won't even have been off the vine for more than a week. So it's pretty awesome. It's delicious. I brought a jar to my grandma today. She said it's super good. So you'd be happy if you want it. And even if you don't win it, if you would like to get your hands on a jar, you can go to SierraTheBarefootGirl.com. Click the link to the store. It's in the Barefoot Farms section. I have 2 different sizes for you. 125 milliliters, which is like half a cup, or 250 milliliters, which is about a cup. So get your hands on the jam. Be caller number 9 or go to SierraTheBarefootGirl.com and click on the store. Now back to our barefoot news. We have an article here from netivist.org about barefoot running, whether it's good for you or if it's just a fad. We've been talking about all these people that have been out barefoot running, out going on like walks barefoot for their church fundraisers, or I don't know what that Kenyan Orphan Project one is, if it's a religious fundraiser or an orphanage fundraiser. Jake Brown's out running across America barefoot to raise money for injured veterans. So there's lots of people out there barefoot running right now that are in the media. But there's still some debate among the running community if barefoot running is actually good for you or not. And I think a lot of this is myths perpetuated by the running shoe industry. They have this mentality that you need more padding, more arch, more lift, more support around your foot to keep you from injuring yourself when you're running. So this is an article. It's written by Chris Hunkler and Hans Jorf Elef, it looks like. And yeah, so it's about the pros and cons of barefoot running. They say, do you like running? Surely you have heard about barefoot running. Join our discussion about its pros and cons and tell us if you like this trend. Running is a healthy training method, beneficial for your legs and lungs. But how should we run? Is using shoes good or should we run barefoot? For centuries, humans ran without shoes or any other kind of protection. The human body is prepared to run long distances. The Homo sapiens, before developing sophisticated weapons and traps, used to hunt prey simply by chasing and extenuating them before a final attack. Footwear was introduced to provide traction, warmth, and protect the soles of the feet. That kind of reminds me of the movie The Croods, which is about, it's about cave people, Neanderthals, during climate change. Their cave gets knocked down in an earthquake or something. But they're at the beginning of the movie, you first meet them, they're chasing down this thing, like a bird-like dinosaur creature, to catch its eggs. To catch this thing and steal its eggs, and then they're running from other predators, but they're barefoot. And it's not until about 2/3 of the way through the movie that they actually get shoes, and they only put them on to cross these like crunchy rocks that are stabbing them in the feet. Following the launch of the book Born to Run by Chris McDougall, lots of runners have decided to embrace this new trend of barefoot running or minimalist running. McDougall studied the Tarahumara, a tribe living in the Mexican state of Chihuahua, who had a legendary ability to run extreme distances without getting injured. He found out that to a great extent, the key for their extraordinary running skill was linked to not using shoes. However, there's much controversy about McDougall's finding and the way in which the trend is spreading. Pros of barefoot running. There's no conclusive scientific evidence showing that the use of modern shoes and orthotics has diminished the number of injuries in runners. Some claim that, on the contrary, shoes, when used without care, can cause problems for runners. The use of shoes for running has been promoted strongly by the marketing of sportswear companies. Some of the reasons why barefoot running may be considered best are: it contributes to strength in the arch musculature, shoe weight changes biomechanics in our feet, the lateral heel counter creates a pronatory whip. So pronatory is when your foot is swinging to the outside, and so it is causing damage from your foot moving in an unnatural way. The upper shoe interferes with normal toe speed. Shoes encourage fungal infections, while the sun kills the fungus. The sole of the shoes reduces your body's awareness of the forces applied at heel strike, and cheaper running in bare shoes. Cheaper running bare than in shoes. Cons of barefoot running. Support for barefoot running is not unanimous. In fact, most athletes, including professionals who are advised by physiotherapists and orthopedic doctors, still use shoes. Some shoes are actually designed to reinforce some parts of your feet, and they help prevent ankle twists, absorb shocks, and improve the control of your foot. Arguments against barefoot running? The fact that some shoes are not apt for running and could cause harm does not mean that all shoes are bad. Not everyone is ready for barefoot running. It requires a period of adaptation, just like that barefoot girl that was walking across Europe. Those who are unaccustomed to barefoot running can suffer strain on muscles and tendons and get injuries. It is not shown that barefoot running can make you run faster, and some surfaces may make barefoot running painful and dangerous, such as hot asphalt, broken glass, and animal excrements. Animal excrements, I would tend to disagree with, but hot asphalt, super painful if you're not used to it, as I experienced when I was down in Utah last month. Holy crap, the sidewalks there get hot. That was not fun. But those are arguments for and against barefoot running. So I think it kind of depends on what your scenario is. What do you think, John?
I think it's like anything. You know, you have to become accustomed to it, and you made the reference to the girl that went barefoot across Europe. Same type of thing. She wasn't running, she was just walking, but at first it was painful for her. She was really negative on it, and then near the end she said she was going to continue to walk barefoot. So I think it's hard for people to have a point of reference in going barefoot, since very few people do. So until they experience it, they're going to see the dangers. They're going to see the things they would consider to be a problem. You mentioned animal excrement. None of us want to step on it, but it's really not going to be a danger to you. And the others, yeah, there could be broken glass and hot asphalt, but as I think we've learned, you learn to adapt to that. You know when not to walk on certain things. And I've got a real good one on the broken glass. We're doing a pet sitting for some people we've been doing for about 2 weeks. And when I walked in their house, it was very dark. You could barely see at all. And I walked from the kitchen to the bedroom. And on the way back, I saw there was a broken, like, crystal globe on the ground that the cat had knocked over. And I had just walked there, minutes before. And I didn't step on a piece of glass. You do subconsciously work right around it. Your body becomes accustomed to it. I was actually kind of amazed that I didn't step on any of it because it was really shattered all over the place. But if you don't have that experience, of course, that's going to seem like a major danger to be concerned about.
Well, and even when you do step on broken glass, like I've stepped on a broken beer bottle outside of a bar, and it didn't cut my foot, bruised it because it was, sharp and hard. It did bruise the bottom of my foot, which, like, I tell most people about that, and like, I don't believe you. Because, it was a jagged shard that was pointing straight up. I stepped on it. I was like, ow, that hurt. What was that? And it was a broken beer bottle. I looked at the bottom of my foot. I can see a little bruise forming around where it had been jabbed. I don't say stabbed because it didn't break the skin, because my feet are like leather now. I've only been going barefoot for 5 years. John's been going barefoot for a substantially longer period of time. But even at that point, I think I'd only been going barefoot maybe a year and a half. And just in that time, my feet had adjusted. And my soles aren't, I wouldn't call them hard. They're thick and they're supple. And when you push on them, they're springy. They're hard to penetrate. In my time barefooting, I've only been injured, a skin penetrating injury twice on the bottom of my foot. Once was from a sharp rock that hit me just at the right angle to cut my foot. Another was a tree, like stump or something, that was sticking up out of the ground in my neighbor's yard. I was running across their yard and it stabbed me in the arch of my foot. But I've never, ever, ever in my 5 years of barefooting been cut by broken glass. The last time I was cut by broken glass was when I was like 13, and I'd been at the pool for like 2 hours, and I was walking home without my shoes on and stepped on some glass and it went in my foot. It didn't bleed. It just got stuck in there. Had to go to a doctor and get it taken out. But that, my feet had been waterlogged. They weren't tough at that point. So the broken glass is really not as big of a deal as people think it is. It starts to just kind of like roll off your foot after a while. Another one that people forget about is hypodermic needles. I hear that a lot. Like, I can't go barefoot. I might step on a dirty drug needle. I hear that a lot, actually. And while I was visiting my family down in Utah, my brother actually came in and he's just like, "Don't go outside. I saw a hypodermic needle on the yard." So I go and look at it, and it's I don't even know what it was, but it was a piece of plastic. It wasn't a hypodermic needle. But I don't know where these people are going, but they think they're going to step on a hypodermic needle. Like, how often do you go to crack houses?
I was going to say, that might be your least of your worry if that's where you're around. I feel the exact same way. If you're around an area like that, move. You really don't want to do that. But I think some places I go that, you know, some people probably wouldn't be comfortable going barefoot sometimes. I never really run into that kind of thing ever, you know. And even if you did, it would be very highly unlikely that it would be sticking up and, you know, would step on it. I mean, when you look at everything in life has risks, I don't care what it is. You know, you could drink a glass of water and choke on it. But you're still going to drink water, and you're not going to have somebody there or wear something to keep you from choking on it. So there are risks in the world, but you have to balance them with the benefits. And exactly. If it was just us talking about we like to go barefoot and that's the benefits, yeah, that may not be enough to convince anyone. But it's scientific studies, doctors, you know, these are concrete studies that they've done where they've compared people that have worn shoes their whole life with people that have not. And we're literally considered, what was the word? Not mutilated. You know, our feet have been mutilated from wearing shoes. In what I remember seeing in one article that compared, you know, people from many thousands of years ago when they didn't wear shoes to the condition of our feet now, they were just horrendous. So as far as damage, I think there's a lot of unseen damage we're doing all the time when people are wearing shoes. That's way worse than something that could happen without them.
That's interesting that you bring up the damage that shoes do to our feet. There was an article on LeeSaxby.com published 2 days ago by Mick Wilkinson that showed the changes in what your foot strike pattern is and the weight-bearing area and the spread of your toes when you're running, when you're habitually shod, meaning you wear shoes most of the time, unshod, and it's got scans of, it's a 2D footprint image of the width, the length, the arch, how things line up in running barefoot versus not running barefoot. This was done by the Faculty of Sports Science at Ningbo University, Ningbo, China. And it was a collaboration with Department of Engineering Science, University of Auckland in New Zealand, the Auckland Bioengineering Institute at the University of Auckland, and the School of Biological Science and Medical Engineering, Southeast University in China, and a rehabilitation center in China. So they teamed up and did this study, and it's quite different. Like, you can see on the foot that wears shoes, there's a lot of pressure on the heel, on the ball of the foot, and on the big toe, whereas on the barefoot one, there aren't really any lit up pressure points at all. And the arch is stronger. You can actually see the musculature of the arch. The foot is wider, the toes are splayed, and it's not foot shaped. In the one that's wearing a shoe, it's shoe-shaped. It's got the curve of the shoe, has molded the toes, it's molded the shoe shape into the foot. It looks like the bottom of a tennis shoe. But the article here, the study, they said, foot morphology and function has received increasing attention from both biomechanics researchers and footwear manufacturers. In this study, 168 habitually unshod runners, 90 males whose age, weight, and height were 23 plus or minus 2.4 years, 66 plus or minus 7.1 kilograms, and 1.68 meters in height, so about 5 feet, 8 inches in height average, and 78 females whose age, weight, and height were average of 22 years, 55 kilograms, and 1.6 meters, so about 5'4". So that's the demographics. They participated in a foot scanning test that used the EasyScan foot scanner, a three-dimensional foot scanning system, to obtain 3D foot surface data and 2D footprint imaging. Foot length, foot width, angles, and minimal distance from the arch to the second toe were calculated to analyze foot morphological differences. The study found that significant differences exist between groups, shod Chinese and unshod Indians, for foot length, width, angle of the arch, and the distance from the arch to the toe. The study suggests that significant differences in morphology between different ethnicities could be considered for future investigation of locomotion biomechanics characteristics between ethnicities and inform last shape and design so as to reduce injury and poor performance of malfit shoes. So they're talking about cultures that wear shoes versus cultures that don't. The cultures that wear shoes end up having malformed feet, is the basic gist of the study's conclusion.
Yeah, it reminds me of an article I saw where they were talking about in a drugstore in the United States, the aisle for foot remedies, you know, the little things for corn patches and all the different things that athletes foot, which people are considering, most people think have to do with barefoot, although it's just the opposite. Anyways, there was this large section in the store, and they said they were in New Zealand, and there were people were predominantly barefoot, and it was like a shelf. You know, like just one little small space that had, you know, foot remedies because they didn't need it.
Well, yeah, what are you going to have wrong with your feet if you're treating them in the most healthy way possible? You might get a few heel cracks. It happens. So, you know, they would have a heel salve. Might have like plantar wart removing cream, because those actually you can contract from being barefoot in icky areas. I did get one from an icky swimming pool locker room once, but now yeah. I just avoid that swimming pool because it was icky.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there's a risk in anything we do in life, you know, and you know, going barefoot is no exception. It's going to have its risks, but when you start to see the benefits and the actual dangers of, quote, protecting your feet, you know, it really is an eye-opener. You know, we've become to have this belief that you have to wear shoes because of all the dangers in the world and all this thing, but nobody really thinks about all the dangers and problems that the shoes are causing, you know, which is really tremendous, as you were just referring to in those articles.
Oh, exactly. And it misshapes your feet. That's scary to me.
It is.
How many problems are caused by that? The feet are your foundation of your body. And if you look at a house that doesn't have a proper foundation, you know, it starts to cave in on one side, you get leaks, you get all sorts of damage that can take years to fix. And if we're doing the same thing to our feet, it's causing who knows what kind of unseen damage.
Yeah, it's, as I'm sure you've heard me mention many times before, it's just like an alignment on a car. You would not get new tires and then go in there and start changing the alignment on the car because you're going to wear those tires out. Well, that's essentially what we're doing when we put shoes on. We have a perfectly 50-50 weight balanced when we're barefoot, but yet we're going to put shoes on. And then just the leverage effect that goes all the way up your body. You know, think about it when you have a long, you know, stick or something, how much you, at one end you barely move it, at the other end how far it moves. A slight change in your feet as it starts going up your body to your knees and hips and back and everything else is really accentuated.
Oh, absolutely. It's remarkable how much of a difference there is even just between a proper foundation of your feet being healthy and the shoes. Like that picture of the same person running in shoes versus not in shoes. Their gait is different. Their posture is different. The angle that they're striking the ground is different. And it's just, it blows my mind that there's that much of a difference. I mean, I knew there was a difference, but I thought it was more subtle than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's so critical. Our balance, our you know, we are really amazing machines when they come, when you come down to it. You know, the human body, you know, the more you learn about it, the more, you know, unbelievable it is. And, you know, balance, any machine, you know, tolerances and having things aligned is so critical. Any machine we've even built as people, you know, you have to make sure things are not rubbing together and are aligned correctly. But yet we know that, and we turn around and just slap anything on our feet, destroy that alignment.
Yep. It seems kind of crazy. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, me either. But I think we're very close to this as well, of course, and we've done the research. And, you know, people in general are going to go with, you know, what they've been taught over the years and what we've grown up with, and most of that is firmly against going barefoot and gives you every reason not to. So it's an uphill battle, and one that we're here to fight. But
right, and then it's taught that it's not socially acceptable. Like with the case of Honey Boo Boo being barefoot, there's last year, I think it was, she was barefoot in some gas station in Georgia, and people were like, this poor family needs to get this poor girl some freaking shoes. She's so poor, she can't even afford shoes. This is so redneck. But like demographic studies you do on Twitter where you see what people are tweeting with barefoot, where they call it ratchet or
yep.
Like barefoot and socially acceptable. People saying, oh, if it was socially acceptable to go barefoot, if it was, you know, I would do it every day, but we're taught that it's not socially acceptable, that it's ratchet, that it's a symbol of poverty, of classlessness, of being a hillbilly.
What's amazing to me is so many, you know, we've been through so much social change in our life. You know, you think about all the different things around you that you see in the news every day or in person that have become socially acceptable that were not before, but yet this seems to stand firm as something that just stays no matter what group it is, you know, no matter how radical they may be in other respects. Most people still don't consider that going barefoot is not socially acceptable.
Just well, yeah. Like when I was a kid, gay people weren't on TV. There was no openly gay actors. There were no openly gay characters on TV until it was like Will and Grace or something. I don't know, Dharma and Greg, I don't remember, but I mean, there was one sitcom that had one gay character in it, and now every show on TV has at least one gay couple, it seems, anyways. I mean, even Walking Dead has a gay couple.
Yeah. It's,
and,
it's
I mean,
unbelievable.
You never heard about characters with AIDS in the 90s, and now it's starting to be more common that there are TV characters that have AIDS. And it's like these things that used to be totally taboo to talk about, people are talking about them more, but it's still considered,
or
it's still,
you know, piercings and tattoos, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that would have never been considered something that was acceptable in any respect, and you know, in that case they're permanent. And I'm not putting any judgment or sides on it. It's just that that's become socially acceptable to a certain degree. I think I saw a thing that said like 50% of people between the ages of 20 and 45 have at least one tattoo. 20 years ago? No way. It would not have been that.
Yeah.
But yet,
well, I mean, my husband has a tattoo. I don't, but it's becoming more common. And
right.
Among the generation before him and his family, I don't think any of them have tattoos. But he has a tattoo. His sister has at least one tattoo. I think two, actually. Her husband has a couple tattoos. It's just becoming more socially acceptable. It's like it's an art form now instead of social rebellion and gang culture.
Yeah, and that's exactly. But going barefoot, hopefully we'll see that change, hopefully soon, but in our lifetime, in the same respect, especially we're here, we're talking about something that not only has to do with social acceptance, but actually your health. And, you know, more and more of these articles are coming out, and more of these studies just showing how bad shoes are for you and how good it is to get those free electrons out of the ground. But hopefully it'll catch up. I have a very positive outlook that it's going to change, but it's going to take work. It's going to take things like this show and people understanding. And, you know, when you look at the Society for Barefoot Living, I haven't been on there in a couple of days, Sierra. I saw we were just approaching 5,000. Did we pass that?
Let me check. I haven't had a whole lot of time to be on the internet. Things are starting to need to be harvested at the farm. We've got a new baby llama. Chicks are hatching. So I've not spent a whole lot of time on Facebook. But 4,996 members. Four more people and we'll have 5,000.
Wow. That's incredible. And, you know, compared to the amount of people in the world, that's not a lot. But, you know, for every person that's, quote, a member, how many more people are out there that are visiting sites that are just not ready to make that commitment yet? They're at least getting the introduction. Quite amazing.
So I just did the math. We are 0.00000007% of the world's population are in that group, which is not a statistically significant amount. But
no.
Look at all these small groups of people that have done a huge change. I mean, it was only one lawsuit against the country that changed the United States' decision on whether gay marriage was legal or not. It was only one lawsuit against the Supreme Court that allowed abortion in the United States. It was only one lawsuit against them that changed the separate but equal, which we know wasn't equal, but ended the race-based assignments of schools, segregation. I mean, it was one lawsuit that changes that. And I'm not saying we need to go out and sue companies for not letting us be barefoot. I'm not saying that that's the answer, but I'm saying it was a small group of people that made these huge changes. And yes, there's tons of buildup to it. Thousands of people doing marches and sit-ins, and, you know, they didn't have social media back then. Maybe they like posted flyers on telephone poles. I don't know. I wasn't there. But statistically, small number of people can make huge changes. Martin Luther King was one man, and look at the changes that came from him. Rosa Parks, one person. And she's famous for not giving up her seat on a bus. Like, that's one small thing that she did once in her life made huge changes, huge reverberating effects. Mahatma Gandhi was one person. And so who's to say that the 5,000 people can't make a change into how barefooting is presented in the social world?
And also, I think 5,000 is really, it doesn't really represent the amount of people that are interested in going barefoot. It's the amount of people that have made the plunge, come out of the closet, as you, I think you've mentioned it before. Because going barefoot is so socially considered unacceptable, I think it's very difficult for somebody to put their name out there. That's something that they're interested in.
Oh, for sure. And I know there are at least a couple dozen people that I know of that are barefooters that are not members of this group. They're members of other groups. I mean, there's a Barefoot Lethbridge group on Facebook now, which is the big town closest to me. It's the third largest city in Alberta. So it's a pretty big city, and there's a living barefoot group for Lethbridge, 34 members. 34 members out of the 75,000 that are in the city. Not that many, but 34 people coming together to do something is going to make a change. You know, if all 34 of us went into the local mall and said, we're going to tell everyone we know not to shop here because you don't allow barefoot customers, do you think that would make a change? Maybe not at first. But if then everyone that we told, like if each of us told six people And each of those people told 6 people. And each of them told 6 people. You know, within a few weeks, the whole town would have heard they discriminate against barefoot shoppers. Don't shop there. And sure, not the whole town would boycott the mall for that. But if enough people knew about it and were upset about it, it would make a change. So yes, us, our small group of rounding up to 5,000 can make a huge difference. We do need to take an ad break, though. We'll continue this discussion when we come back, talking more about the damage that shoes do and the bad reputation that going barefoot seems to have. So stay tuned. We will be right back. And remember, we're still taking callers. Caller number 9 will win a freshly made jar of strawberry jam. Strawberries were picked yesterday. Canned it myself. Super yummy. So call in the number 347-324-3704. If we don't get enough callers to give it away, I will continue this giveaway on the Barefoot is Legal Twitter, at Barefoot is Legal. So I'll tell you how many callers we've had at the end of the show, and then the 9th one to tweet me will win if we don't have enough callers. So that's how we'll work that. But please, I would love to give it away to a caller into the show, but if you're listening to this later as a recorded rebroadcast, then you can still enter if we haven't given it away yet. So, ad break, we'll be back.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all in the Sabbath hour at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live shows. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told. Here, we found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com.
That's WilliamLewisFilms.com.
Welcome back to Barefoot is Legal Radio. John and I have been chatting about some of the struggles we face as barefooters, how it's still kind of perceived as stupid people go barefoot, gross people go barefoot, homeless, crazy, redneck, ratchet, whatever. And also the damages that shoes cause. We do have a couple comments from our listeners. David Michael James Rocklitz says, I was on vacation all this week and spent most of it barefoot. I was also barefoot at Six Flags, Great America, and no one bothered me about my barefoot lifestyle. That's so awesome, David. I'm so happy for you that no one bugged you. Got one here from Kevin Stevens Jr. He says, last night my church members were invited to another church and we had a great time. Before I got there, I was debating with myself if I should wear my bare bottoms and go barefoot. I chose to go barefoot. Church is one of those places where it's nice to be barefoot. No one will kick you out or tell you you need shoes. Unfortunately, I didn't take pics, but that's okay. Very nice time to be barefoot. We actually do get people commenting that they've been told they have to wear shoes at church. In the Society for Barefoot Living, there are people who mention that their pastors have come up to them and told them, you need to wear shoes. And it's, I mean, I didn't know there was a dress code for church. But
You ran into that as well, didn't you? Or when you were getting married, even.
Yes. The LDS temples do require shoes for certain, they call them ordinances, the ceremonies that take place in there. There are two ordinances that require shoes, and one of them is the marriage. And I had like these little, they're silk slippers basically, and I had little nylon socks inside of them. So I mean, it wasn't too bad, and it was my dream to get married there, so I'm not gonna put up a fuss about that. And it's more out of some ceremonial clothing that is worn than a restriction on your right to be barefoot. And as far as the other ordinances go, temple to temple, it kind of varies whether they make you put socks on or not. But I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate that, like, just attending church on Sundays, there are so many people that are told you need to wear shoes. It's not appropriate. Because really, isn't the point of going to church to become closer to whatever God you worship, not to have a fashion contest?
Exactly. And unfortunately, those things do, that might be the real reason behind it, but what is the real reason a lot of the people are there? Not always in line. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, for me, when I go to the temple for worship, I don't mind wearing the ceremonial clothing for those particular instances. I know it's expected of me, and it's part of my religion. It doesn't bother me. I wish it wasn't required, but I understand the significance of the ceremonial clothing. It's all, like, it's not, like, as secret as you would think it is. It's the stuff that they talk about in the Old Testament. Basically the ceremonial clothing that they wear in the Old Testament in the temples. Same kind of thing. Slightly less weird. There's no like bells and baubles and stuff on them. But anyway, part of the ceremonial clothing. But for just going to church, if you're not like, I know Catholic priests have ceremonial clothing, but if you're not one of those people wearing ceremonial clothing during a religious service, then why does it really matter? I mean, I'm sure they'd prefer you didn't show up completely naked, but as long as you're not, then you're there. Isn't that the point?
I think it also the irony of social acceptance, because if through the ages it was socially accepted that you only go barefoot in church, and then somebody shows up with shoes, it would just cause such a stir, you know? So it's really just the irony of how social acceptance works.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I like that the article that they did the study on the people who wear shoes culturally versus people who don't culturally wear shoes.
I think a lot of it does have to do with culture, because it wasn't hard for them to go find 100 people in India who don't wear shoes, because they just don't have to wear shoes as much there. Or in New Zealand, it wouldn't be hard to find 100 people who don't wear shoes. I have a cousin who just got back from, she was in New Zealand for 18 months doing missionary work. She saw all kinds of people that didn't wear shoes. We've had guests from New Zealand on this radio show talking about their life in New Zealand, you know, running a business, working, not wearing shoes. And it's not a big deal. It's totally fine there. It's not something that people freak out about there. But in North America, it is. I don't understand why.
Yeah, that it is, again, that whole social acceptance and what's become acceptable in different areas. And as you mentioned, in New Zealand, parts of Australia even, it's considered acceptable. I've seen many of stories of people living their lives completely barefoot or very close, or going to school and working in malls and grocery shopping and doing everything, and it's just normal. Which is normal, but unfortunately, yeah. Here,
like the movement on Twitter, barefoot is human.
Right.
Well, there's a school in the UK where the student government voted that their classrooms would be barefoot zones because kids are less distracted when they're barefoot, which I find to be really interesting.
Yes, and their behavior's better. Behavior's better, they're less distracted, they do better in school. A whole bunch of benefits. And there are a couple schools, I believe now, that are, because of those reasons, you know, doing it at least on a test basis. And I think it might have been the week you were off, I'm not sure, Sierra, but I read an article on that, and it was talking about a grandmother that was bashing it because there was a fire drill, and the children had to go outside, and some of them had wet socks on, because it was either barefoot or socks in their case. And I'm thinking, take the socks off. What's the problem here? You know, but the article did talk about how much, you know, the grades improved, mainly it was talking about the challenges with behavior, how much it was, you know, it's hard to get mad at somebody when you're barefoot. And I think that's one of the things they said, you know.
Well, I don't know, I managed to do it for
you. Well, yeah, but it's still, overall, though, it definitely, it will impact your mood. I mean, to have shoes on and to get that negativity, and I think a lot of it's because we're lacking the free electrons and the things our bodies are craving and needing, and it just puts us in a lousy mood. I don't know, that's not exactly scientific, but could have something to do with it.
Well, those scientific studies into earthing, that new one that was just published, it talks about the Earth's energy field and how that regulates. It regulates our circadian rhythm, it regulates our mood, it fights free radicals. And that other one that was published last fall, the first one we read, that talked about the Earth's chi, that's more from a religious perspective, but it's the same idea. It's the Earth's energy field. Chinese religion, we call it chi.
In addition to that, there's microbes in the ground that they've actually proven have the same effects as Prozac. I think we read one of those articles. It was on gardening that they were doing the article. I don't know if you remember a while back. But it was talking about how they've actually proven that the same benefits somebody gets from Prozac, they get from walking barefoot or touching the earth. They really didn't talk about going barefoot as much. Because it was more about gardening and touching with your hands, but still the same theory, and without the side effects, and it's right there in the ground. The more I've researched, the more I've learned, the more I truly believe we were designed to be in touch. We were designed to be plugged into the earth, and we're determined to cut our ground plug off, and we need to have it.
Absolutely. It's unfortunate that society evolved in a way that cut us off from the earth. Because for hundreds of years now, as in, you know, the Industrial Revolution happened and people moved to cities, I mean, it's been probably maybe 200-300 years that people have been working in factories. And so we're inside all day. We're not farming anymore. We're not getting the benefits of just breathing fresh air because it's all polluted now from all the factories. We're having to wear protective clothing while we're inside these factories because you don't want your foot mangled by a sewing bobbin or whatever might eat your foot off. So you had to start wearing shoes. And I'm not saying that going to school is a bad thing at all, but a lot of schools have dress codes that require closed-toed, closed-back shoes for safety reasons, in case, you know, in case there's a fire, they don't want your like flip-flop falling off or whatever.
Catch but it's fire. Just, sorry.
You know, whatever society has evolved, it seems it takes us farther and farther away from nature. And I think it's a good thing that there's all these kind of back to nature movements going on, the urban homesteading movement, the off the grid movement, the barefoot movement goes along right with them. I mean, there's a lady called Heidi in the Society for Barefoot Living group, and she runs a blog, Barefoot and Paleo, talking about her paleo diet, which paleo, I mean, some people read it and see it's kind of strict, but the idea behind paleo is a more natural diet. Humans did not evolve eating Twinkies. Humans did not evolve eating frosted animal crackers and Oreos and crap from the freezer aisle. Like, we evolved eating fruits, vegetables, nuts, berries, meats. We didn't, you know, we didn't survive as a species because we were eating macaroni and cheese. But it's all this back to movement, even the natural parenting where they hold their babies in slings instead of pushing them in strollers and cloth diapering and, you know, breastfeeding past the age of two. It's all more of a back to nature movement, and barefooting goes right along with it.
Exactly. I think one of the things that did send society off track that I've read was the plagues back in the Dark Ages when they had the plagues. And even though it came from tainted water, the people at the time thoroughly believed it came from contact. And that's when they really started wrapping themselves up in layers and layers of clothes to keep them insulated from this. And, you know, you watch half the population die, and it doesn't, you know, it's not too hard to convince you to try something like that. So I think we're still suffering from that. And definitely your comments on the Industrial Revolution, you know, especially early in the Industrial Revolution, things were closer to raw materials than they were to finished goods. You know, now we're on the other side of the Industrial Revolution, really. And, you know, you're not going to get hurt in a restaurant stepping on a styrofoam cup or even a plastic.
Exactly. Well, I think it's interesting that you mentioned the plagues. I recently read a book. It's called The Doomsday Book. It's about time travel. There's a time traveler that goes back to the Middle Ages, and she sees how they're living, and she's appalled by their lack of sanitation, when really a lot of the stuff that they did was probably better for them than the stuff that we do now with, I mean, yeah, they had rats in their houses causing the plague, but they were eating their food straight from farms. They were getting their water straight from the source. It wasn't flowing through taps and having chemicals added to it that can potentially cause cancer. It wasn't, you know, they had some hygiene issues where they weren't bathing regularly because they didn't have plumbing, and, you know, they had outhouses instead of modern toilets. But
that's exactly it.
It's a give and take.
The natural, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say the natural systems were compromised. You know, the things that filter the water were compromised, the things that remove the waste, all these things that you would have normally in nature were compromised because they moved into such tight quarters.
Well, exactly. Like, if you read The Jungle by Upton Sinclair wrote it, The Jungle. It's set in the early 1900s in Chicago, and it's talking about meatpacking plants and how gross and unsanitary the conditions that these workers worked in and lived in. And if that had been a butchering facility on a farm, you know, it's open air. So yeah, there might be some flies, but they're not being attracted by large quantities of puddles of blood. They're not, you know, knee deep in gunk from the animals that they're butchering. They're not accidentally chopping off their fingers in these machines. And there are absolutely, positively some wonderful things that have happened because of industrialization. You know, I love air conditioning. I love the internet. But at the same time, there are people who get migraine headaches from the Wi-Fi wave frequency. It gives them migraine headaches. So, I mean, it's not good for everyone. Even cell phones. I used to work for a telecom company, and I had a lady calling in asking if we can set up her phone in a different way, because the way we had it set up, it was through her internet, and so it would remotely connect to 911 if she needed it. It could, even if the power's out, it would continue working. It would wirelessly connect all the phones in her house. And she was asking us to go back to the way that they used to do it because she has electric frequency sensitivities that cause her to have migraines. And so, I mean, it's a give and take with everything. And I think shoes are one of those things it's a give and take. You know, like with the Croods, it was wonderful for them. They had these shoes that they invented that they could walk across these sharp, pokey rocks and not get injured. But when they were hunting and climbing trees and the rest of the movie, they weren't wearing them because they didn't need them. And I think that's what the big give and take with modern society is. We need to decide what it is we actually need. And for a lot of people, they're deciding shoes are not one of those things.
Yeah, and they're a tool. Use them as a tool, just like you would with gloves, just like you would with eye protection hats or whatever it was. There are times, use it as a tool.
And you know, like other tools, a big one that I use as an example is guns. Guns are meant to be a tool. You know, you don't always need to be carrying a gun just in case a deer runs in front of you and you shoot it because you're going to take it home for dinner. You know, and arguably there are cases where there are cities and parts of towns where you would want to carry a handgun for protection as a tool. But you know, I don't carry a rifle around with me every day just because I might want to shoot a deer. Just like I don't carry shoes around with me every day in case I might have to wear them. It's something that you anticipate the need for and use only as needed.
And real quick, I need to jump in. I know we're running out of time here, but when you mentioned as a tool, it hit a funny story. Locally, they have a place, Tropical Smoothie. Down here, I think they're pretty known outside of Florida as well. And they do a thing for a free smoothie. They have a flip-flop day every couple times a year. And if you come in wearing flip-flops, you get a free smoothie. Well, I know them, so I jokingly said, will my flip-tops work? And they were fine with it. But my wife was in the car with me, and she didn't have flip-flops on. So I went in, and she ran home because we were just around the corner. But we literally forgot that I had a pair of folding flip-flops in the car that I would use in case needed. But I hadn't used them in so long. I forgot they were even in the car.
That's so pretty funny.
I just thought it was, thinking back. But I know we're approaching that time.
Yeah, we're down to less than 30 seconds. So again, since we didn't get enough callers to give away the jam, go ahead and tweet us at Barefoot is Legal, BareFootIsLegal is the Twitter handle. Barefoot is Legal. The ninth person to tweet me about the, I will send it to you. So have a great week. Stay barefoot. Make sure you tune in next week. That's all for this week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you next week.